Hi everyone, welcome to the Mac Show. I'm your host Jeff Gamet, and unlike yesterday, I'm going to do my best to stick around for the show. So let's see how that goes. And for those of you that are like, what? Go check out the big show from February 12th, and yeah, it was an adventure of a day. But here we are. Back again, and somehow Patrice and Tom managed to soldier on without me there to say
To not
stupid
mess it
things.
up completely. Well, not so sure about that.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm glad that I'm back today and that I get to hang out with awesome people yet again. And speaking of Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very happy the week is over, or the work week is at least over. It's the weekend. Yay. It's been a nice week. It's been a challenging week. It's been my birthday week. So it's been all of that. Like, went flying on Sunday. Not looking good this Sunday. We saw the sun for the first time. Sun and blue skies last Sunday, and I was like, what the hell is this blue and white stuff that we're seeing there? Like, that doesn't belong there. It's usually gray and dark.
No
So,
wonder you were so confused when I sent
yes.
you a picture from
Yes.
the nature trail the other day.
Yeah, I was like, what is that? Like, never seen it. Like, this doesn't exist. No, it was nice. It was like I had a really good session, a lot of flying, and then I said, like, doctor's appointments, and I said, work and birthday, and a lot of that. So I took my day off, my birthday off yesterday. So that was nice. Had a lot of fun stuff that I did.
Awesome.
And then I did a podcast. No, that was also fun with you and
And it was fun for the part that I was there.
Tom. Yes.
Yeah. Chuck, how's it going for you?
Speaking of fun,
Speaking of,
the day
Chuck's
is
like a
flying
party
by.
in your pocket.
That's deeply disturbing. The day is flying by when I, because I always set an alarm to make sure that I don't miss meetings or whatever. And when this one went off, it's like, no, I must have misset it. It's like, no, that's right on time. I have no idea what happened to about 3 hours here, but they just disappeared out from under me. But other than that, it's doing good. And happy birthday, Patrice.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday again.
Should we
And
sing, Jeff?
I did yesterday, but I'm
Yeah.
happy to sing again. It's
No,
belated birthday day for Patrice. It's a
I
special day for you. Happy
Oh.
birthday, girl. Have some cake and maybe a beer too.
Thank
How
you.
was that?
That was good. Thank you.
Chuck,
I
I'm
love
thinking
your
all on you.
improvised. I love your
I was thinking of
improvised
something a little
puns.
more traditional, but I don't think there's any reason for Jeff and I to do a duet and break the internet. So
Wow,
just.
that would be cool.
And suddenly now, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, no, it's not. No. No, I don't want to break the microphone. That's a thing.
Well, you need to stop throwing it down onto the stage after you're done singing.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyhow, Mac Show, we should probably talk about some Apple related news. And since I was unavailable basically all day yesterday, because that's how the day ended up working out, I never got a hold of Dave's show notes for In Touch with iOS. So I'm having to figure out on my own what's happened in the
Oh
Apple
my
world. And so I found a story to trigger me.
Okay.
Because I figured that's an appropriate way to start. Okay, so Mark Gurman is reporting that Apple says it is on track to launch its new Siri this year, 2026, as promised. And according to Gurman, we might see those features start appearing in 26.5. And just so everyone knows where we are in that process right now, we are. excuse me. We just got 26.3 yesterday, February 12th. So yesterday as we record. And so we are getting closer to 26.5. And here's my take on Apple saying new series coming this year as promised. Apple has promised a lot with Siri, especially over the last year, and has failed, spectacularly failed, to deliver. So on one hand, I'm like, oh, bless your little hearts, thinking we're going to fall for that again. But the other side of that for me is we do have the announcement that Apple is partnering with Google to improve Apple's AI and Siri offerings. So maybe they can deliver. My bar is set very, very low for this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's so on Apple.
Myself.
Yeah. It's so on Apple. Usually they under promise and over deliver. In this case, I mean, we'll see. They haven't delivered yet. Maybe they did under promise and over deliver. But so far, it's not looking good because the timeline is definitely not under delivering.
Yeah. Well, and they also.
No, over delivering. Did... It's under delivering this way.
It's under delivery. Yes.
This way.
And Apple ended up with a lawsuit against them last year for announcing a bunch of AI features that not only weren't delivered, but presumably didn't even exist. That right there is a big basket of overpromise and failure to deliver.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've heard rumors, this week that it's delayed in air quotes again. Like, you know, I mean, Gurman, at least on this one, has had good sources. I mean, he said last year it would not come and it didn't come. And there were rumors that it would start, the first little things would start shipping with 26.4. We haven't gotten 26.4 yet, so, I mean, he might be wrong. Don't know. But he has good sources on this one, or seems to have good sources on this one at least, so we'll see. If it comes in 26.5, okay, it's another month and a half or something. After that, I think it will be 27. There's very little chance that it will come in 26.6.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm also feeling like if 26.5 is the point where we start getting these features, that tells me that Apple has been working on this for a while now.
They have.
Predating the announcement of their Google partnership.
Oh, no. I mean, that is relatively clear. That's how it works. Like, this does not get implemented in, like, 5 minutes. So the announcement was after negotiations, after investigations, after probably building prototypes and trying and whatever. Like when you announce this, you want to be, I mean, one, you've signed the contracts and, you know, but also you want to be damn sure it's going to work out the way you want, especially given the cluster F that it has been so far.
Yes. Okay. But that said, Apple has shown us before they're willing to make announcements without having everything finalized. And I'm thinking of specifically the Ping Facebook announcement.
Well, yeah, that, or there have been a couple others, like FaceTime going open source.
Oh, right.
There were a couple others like that. Like the, what was it, AirPower charger thingy? Yes. So it does happen, but it's rare with Apple. It's not like other companies that basically 99% of what they announce never ships. Looking at you, Meta.
You know, the only thing, and Patrice, you said it well, there's one of the things that and it hit, I think that's what hit Apple stock yesterday, is this announcement that it's not going to be out when everybody thought it was. I don't recall any specific announcements except the rumors, you know, rumor, rumor. And you know how I feel about rumors.
Yeah.
I even hate to be discussing this now. But since we're here, the one thing is that the other part of the rumor was that Apple said, well, the other part of the rumor is that the new Siri was not living up to the privacy standards. Siri just answered me. S-Lady, sorry. S-Lady did not live up to the privacy standards. And if that's the case, I am fine with that. Because I don't want the new S-Lady to come out and deliver on things but compromise on Apple's privacy stance.
Yeah.
Because then I think that would do a lot of harm.
Yeah.
But I think Patrice, you were the one that said, you know, this is all rumor. There were never any official announcements about when it would be available. There's endless speculation.
Okay, Tim did say sometime this year, and he did confirm it is still on track for sometime this year. But that's literally everything we got.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Should I mention that it's February? I mean, it's not exactly October, November, December.
Yeah. So December 31st is still this year.
Yeah, I don't know whether German is being used to try to soften expectations or could what, be. But, you know, there are times that until there's something that in Apple's press release section, I borderline don't pay attention to it until I'm forced to, like has just happened here.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing, the most important takeaway from this piece is that not only did I trigger myself, I triggered Chuck. Well done, me.
Good.
Well, you triggered me. Yeah. You're including this. You know, the article didn't trigger me because I barely read it. Yeah. You know.
I have to say one thing about this. It shows you two things. Well, one, two. Okay. First, there is a certain section of, well, the industry that, like, anything AI, anything salacious about Apple is a big news story. But I think the other side that you see is also there is legitimately a need and a big interest in this. And, I mean, I'm starting with myself. I'm massively interested to see improvements because, sorry, it's shit right now. And I'm willing to admit that. I'm a big fan of Siri. I still use that assistant exclusively, but I'm also massively disappointed in it because half of the time it's barely working. So there is a lot of room for improvement, but I think people are also expecting it and excited about it. Like, they want to see what Apple can do. And we've seen in the past, Apple usually, well, depends a little bit, but most of the time Apple doesn't just do what people expect them to. Apple does what, like, Apple likes to exceed expectations, as we just established earlier. And I think that's also, in this case, working against Apple a little bit, because they can't just do what Google did. They can't just do what all the others are doing. They have to do more. And hopefully maybe that more is privacy. But I hope that more is also an improvement in over what the others are doing in quality. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it hasn't shipped yet. I'm very excited to see. I mean, I'm a little bit disappointed if it doesn't come in 26.4. And not because I'm like, oh, Apple's doing blah, 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 all of that. No, I'm just, I want to see it. I want to try it. I want to test it. Like, you know, I'm beta day one person. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to try it and see, is it better? Where is it falling down? I mean, that's why I'm trying new AI models all the time. Like, I'm genuinely excited about what we can do with it. So if it takes a version longer, hey, I'll survive. Like, it's not that big of a deal, but I'm kind of hope. I've been looking forward to this for a year and a half. So I'm like, please.
You know, Patrice, I have been openly negative about a lot of what's going on with AI development, and hearing you talk now, I'm concerned people are thinking that I'm negative on the whole AI technology space in general, which is not true. The part that I'm bagging on is the
hype,
the current state, the hype, and the expectations that these AI companies are creating that they can't follow through on. and they know they can't yes. follow through on because yeah, exactly. the technology to do what they want yeah. doesn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, Claude, the Anthropic, they just announced that, like, oh, like, our developers are not writing any code anymore, it's all Claude. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
This announcement was great. It was probably created by Claude, and nobody fact checked.
Well, why should they? It's AI. I mean, exactly. How could it be wrong? It's a computer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Patrice, you also mentioned the whole beta testing part.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought up something I've been thinking about. Will they be rolling out these new AI features as part of that beta? Or will they be holding them back? And I'm hoping what you just said, I think mm-hmm. so, is correct. Because I think we do need to have a lot of people hammering on these features.
Yeah.
And like you, I want to see them as early as I can so that yeah. I can start evaluating evaluating them.
I mean, it's actually a good question. Like, there's kind of the three options, right? They wait until the big announcement and then, oh, by the way, it's available now to everybody and that's probably going to be a crapshoot. I mean, it might not be. It might be fine. But usually, like, history shows that rarely goes smoothly because, like, it's mm-hmm. not enough people that have tested it. It's been a lot of internal also keeping it secret because, like, if they tested it widely internally, everybody would know about it. So mm-hmm. that's one option. Second option is just add it to the beta and just have all the beta testers test it. And, I mean, yeah, there will be... You know, there will be new stories like, oh, it's doomed, you know, the typical shit, because people mm-hmm. didn't even understand what they were doing, but they, like, expected it to. The third option is they've done that with some AI tools. It's kind of I want to call it a closed beta, whereas, like, you can like, put your name in the hat, and then eventually your name might get drawn, and you would get added, which I think they did for the Apple, what was it, Image Playground, which is useless, but... Like, oh, I think they yeah. did that there because of the hardware constraints, right? And I could see that happening here as well because, I mean, they have to install a lot of, like, install the LLMs on a lot of servers and all of that. And I could see that happening, that they say, okay, there's like, yeah, it's in the beta, but you, like, you have to sign up for it and then you get, like, unlocked at some point. Would be interesting. Interesting times we live in. I'm very excited.
We do live in interesting times on so many levels.
Yes, that's true.
Yep. Hey, Patrice, you found a link mm-hmm. to to a story. And the funny thing is I found a link from a different news source, but we're using yours.
Okay.
And and this is the news that that YouTube finally can run correctly on Vision Pro because yeah. Google has released a YouTube Vision Pro app.
Yes.
Finally.
So reason number 6,350,731 for Chuck to buy a Vision Pro.
Patrice, this is one of the many reasons why I love you.
I had to bring this story, like, Chuck, sorry.
Are we coming up with a Let's Trigger Chuck show again?
Yes.
No, you're not succeeding.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying.
Yeah, I'll bring another rumor.
Although, to be fair, this is something that has been sorely missing from Vision yes. Pro, and it takes away a big barrier, as far as I'm concerned, for mm-hmm. me, because it seemed unbelievable that YouTube would not take advantage of the opportunity to display mm-hmm. their content in this environment.
Yes.
And so I can't imagine what the rationale has been to not make this a high priority, other than the fact that, and has been beaten on so often here, that maybe the Vision Pro is not being viewed as a runaway success. So maybe they, you know, that was their logic. I think it's a terrible logic, but anyway.
Yeah. I mean, but Chuck, corporate logic, right? It's at the end of the day, it's about dollars and where to invest them.
True, but YouTube has, you know, they've done some reasonably forward thinking things along the way. And yeah. it feels like this one was a miss. But bottom yeah. line is that I think this removes the barrier for a lot of folks, because yeah. this is one of the main things that mm-hmm. I think people would, the more casual user yeah. of Vision Pro would yeah. be wanting to do.
Oh, absolutely.
And now they can.
I'm gonna tell you, in like the InSpace community, this was like a big thing. Like there were discussions about it and people were trying it. I have to say it's a 1.0 version. It's not the YouTube app that you know from your phone or from your iPad or from the web even. For example, YouTube links in other places like in emails or browsers or whatever do not open in that app. There's some other weird limitations still. Like I think sharing of links, for example, is also not possible from the app directly. So it is limited. It says even in the about box, it's a 1.0415 or something, 1.0.0.415, something like that. So it's very clearly the 1.0 version of the app. But it's a good start. And I mean, the important part is it's not the YouTube that you have on your phone or whatever. It's the YouTube with the 180, 360 content and so on that we've had on other devices before. Like there's a YouTube VR app on the Meta and Meta Quest and so on. There's, I think, on the Samsung as well. So it's basically that, right? And that's the interesting thing. Like, yeah, you can watch all the other YouTube videos if you want in a window, but you can also do the uploaded 360 and 180 content, which is sometimes questionable quality yet, but I mean that's a problem that will solve itself over time. And I've tried some and it's really cool. Like can watch 360 content on that. I'll say one thing. It's also the first app that I'm aware of where there is a feature that is exclusively for the M5 Vision Pro, which I don't have. I have the M2. It's the first app I've seen. It's 8K content. So if you want 8K content on your Vision Pro, you need an M5, which kind of makes sense if you think about it. It's like a lot of pixels to push.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cool. But right. I'm very excited. As I said, I mean, this is the 1.0 version, so it's only going to get better, hopefully, from here.
I'm glad to see this come to Vision Pro, even though I don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
It feels to me like this really was, as you have been saying, yeah. An app that was really needed and should have been there. So I'm glad to see it here. Now I'm going to toss out an absolutely ridiculous, harebrained idea.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that this app finally showed up because it was part of the deal with the Apple-Google partnership for AI? And Apple's like, look, we're throwing this in the pot. Yeah. You need to get that YouTube app out the door as part of this partnership. And Google's like, yeah, sure, we can do that.
I've heard this. Like in our InSpace group, there were some people saying the same thing. I don't believe it. And based on nothing but just gut feeling and a little bit knowledge about how corporations work. I mean, is it possible that Google held it back, basically? I mean, they've definitely been working on it for a while. And they maybe held it back and said, like, okay, if you want to deal with us, or other way around, that Apple said, if you want to deal, then let's do that. Or Google said, hey, like, we'll only release it if you make a deal with us. Could also be, like, either direction works. It's possible, but as I said, knowing corporations and like how disjointed they usually are, where one side doesn't know what the other side is doing, and I mean the AI side and the AI model side is very different than the YouTube app development side, even for the Vision Pro. I don't think so. I think this was planned a long time ago. Low effort, low priority, 100%. I mean, Google has historically always been very slow to adopt new technologies on iOS. Like mm-hmm. dark mode took forever, file providers took forever. Like they've not been on the forefront of tech usually. So at least not on Apple's platforms. Like not like their own, yeah, for sure, but not on Apple's platforms. So I mean, I think vector maps took forever. Like there's a lot of examples where Google just took their time. So I think this was already in the making, and it just happened to be right now. Maybe they delayed it a little bit to like have it come together. Because I heard originally that it was due out in like October or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I don't know. It's possible that it was delayed a little bit by this announcement and by the negotiations, and Google said, okay, let's wait until we finalize this before we release this. But I don't think it's important enough, to be honest. I mean, I love the Vision Pro. I love the platform. I think it has a lot of potential. Apple clearly thinks so as well. But I don't think on the scale that the rest of what they're doing is, this is a big thing that they would use for anything.
See, I told you I was throwing out a harebrained idea.
Yeah.
Jeff, I don't know if it's necessarily harebrained. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily have to be a part of the deal. It just could be, hey, by the way, you know, we're trying to play nice here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're missing it. However you want to spin it, Apple wants to spin it, you're missing an opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, maybe they could have pushed just a little bit stronger and said, this is not a deal breaker, but this is one of the conditions we'd really like to see. Yeah. And it's one that theoretically YouTube might have easily been able to deliver on.
Yeah.
As opposed to maybe some other demands that Apple could have made that were going to be a lot more difficult. So YouTube would have been in a position to say, you know, we can't do this, but we can give you Vision Pro.
Yeah. I mean, could be that they were like, hey, like Apple was like, hey, you know, you're not really playing nicely with our platforms usually. And this was maybe one example. And the Google executives were like, yeah, sure, we can deliver an app for that. Like, support you a little bit. Sure. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. So I don't think it's not as harebrained as you thought, Jeff.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I have no facts other than gut feeling. That they just voiced.
All right. Because apparently I'm incapable of staying on track today, I really wanted to learn a little bit about the entomology of harebrained.
Ooh.
Because why is it like, you have... You're coming up with ideas that are so stupid it would be like a rabbit's brain or something like that. Anyhow, it turns out that harebrained first showed up in language, so I suppose that would be literature at some point, in like the 1530s.
Mm-hmm.
And... it comes from, you can trace it back to the Old English word hara, and which comes from Proto-Germanic language. And and hold on, let's see. So the original origin, they're not clear on that. And so it looks like originally... It was in reference to like the color gray, and so it is not about rabbits. But
I was just thinking there's a similar, like, because you were mentioned the like Proto-Germanic. I was like, I was thinking there's a word in Austrian that sounds very similar. Havara, which is friend.
Okay.
I'm like, interesting. Which interesting. I think is Yiddish originally, if I remember correctly.
So, interesting. Okay. Oh, and I was off by a decade. 1540s, that's when it first showed up.
We're probably getting emails already about, like, Jeff got this wrong. Like.
Probably, yeah. And... yeah, you know, if I get it wrong, I blame it on Chuck for not having a Vision Pro.
See, that's good. I like that.
I'm about to just like start a GoFundMe and have you guys contribute to it, because
I'll do that.
I mean, it's like a drinking game. You know, every time that you guys say Chuck and Vision Pro in the same sentence, you got to pay a dollar in.
I would gladly do that. If that means you get a Vision Pro, I would gladly do that.
Be careful, Patrice. Be careful.
Hey, yeah. I am nothing but like about putting my money where my mouth is.
Yeah, I suppose I should put a link in the chat for the etymology that I found. So there it is.
Squirrel.
And squirrel. And originally.
Yeah. By the way, I also now learned harebrained has nothing to do with hair.
Like, it has nothing to do with hair. Yeah. And it was originally used to describe a giddy or reckless person.
Yeah. I mean, isn't hair like a rabbit or something?
Well, it's hares and rabbits are related.
Yeah, something like that. But, oh, interesting.
Yeah. There you go. So that welcome to the entomology show. Yeah. Etymology show. That, I just said entomology, didn't
that,
I?
That took a turn somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Diction matters, people. Yeah. There's a big difference between etymology and entomology. So
yes. It's the second thing people will be sending emails about.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's the difference. Knowing the difference between an ant and an ant, right?
Yes.
And Chuck's like, oh, Jesus, stop.
Where did I end up here? What's going on?
I just figured, you know, I'd just let you run with this one.
All right. So next story, I was torn between, should we talk about foldable iPhones again? Should we talk about Apple buying Severance? But then Patrice,
that would be interesting. Yeah.
Well, do you want to talk about that or the other story that you found?
I mean, let's talk about the Face ID thing. I mean, it's slightly political, but I'll try to figure out a way not to be. Because I think there's a deeper discussion we should have.
Okay, and I have not read this this piece,
This is a story. This is a story on Six Colors. It starts from a slightly, let's say, current political point with all the protests and everything that's going on, and it's not just in the US, like this is happening in other places as well, but it raises an interesting question. So basically the question is, should we as a society be rethinking the ease of use that we have with biometric access? Because yes, it is very convenient to have Touch ID, Face ID, you name it, ID, what is it, Optic ID and Vision Pro, all of those are great. But they come with a trade-off, right? That if someone wants to get access to your device, they can literally just hold the phone in front of your face, for example, and it unlocks. Or put your finger on it and it unlocks. Like, even if you're unconscious or dead or whatever, like, I hope not, but if that ever happens to you, they can literally get, like, whoever wants it, like, government or bad people, like, I don't know, criminals, whatever, like they can literally get into your shit by just like holding the phone in front of your face. And we've heard that people steal phones, and the first thing they do is like they hold it in front of your face to unlock it, and then they can go into settings and change things, right? So it's not unheard of. And it is an interesting question to ask, like, given the current political climate, but also just general societal trends and things that are going on, should we rethink that? Is the ease of use of biometrics worth the trade-off in security? Because I mean, these days especially, your phone is your life. Like everything, almost everything happens on your phones. Like there's a lot of very important information on people's phones. Access to things sometimes, just like, I don't know, whether it's your corporate network, your bank accounts, your governments, like government apps, like all your documents, like in cloud storage, text messages, emails, like there's a lot of stuff you can access with your phone. So should we rethink this?
That's a really interesting idea. Okay, so we do have control over biometrics on our devices to a degree. For example, we can choose to not enter or store any biometric information on devices.
Yes.
That does, however, limit what we can do with it. For example, I believe you cannot use contactless payment systems if you have not enabled
okay, I don't know that.
Biometrics.
Hmm? Could be, yeah. There's definitely some apps I know where that's not, like, where that's not possible anymore.
So, okay, so it may just be Apple Pay that that applies to.
Yeah.
And you do have the ability to force your device to require a password, even if biometrics are enabled. Like if you do, what is it? Press the power button 5 times in succession or restart your device. And then you have to enter a passcode.
Yeah.
So is that enough, or should we have the ability to temporarily disable biometrics? Or
and make it easy to do so, right? The setting is there. The setting is there. I mean, you can go into the settings and what is it? Siri and Face ID, which is also a weird combination. And
I agree.
Was it Siri and Face ID or Security and Face ID? No, I'm confusing myself.
Maybe it changed to 26, but I thought it was Siri and Face ID.
Yeah. But like you can go in and change that, but it's not easy. Right. I mean, the default is, I mean, nowadays, especially with like during device setup, it's basically auto setup unless you explicitly say, no, I don't want this. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy to disable that. It's definitely not Siri in setup because it's now Apple Intelligence in Siri. Privacy and security. No, Face ID and passcode is the option now in 26. Yeah. So makes a little bit more sense. Yeah, but it's not easy to do so. There's no, I mean, what you said, I think, was it side button and top button? Like, hold that.
Yeah, hold on. Let's test it on my iPhone right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I just got the passcode.
Yeah.
Screen instead of unlocking.
Yeah, but okay. it takes like, I mean, on purpose, I think all of it is not easy, which some level is good because it's hard to do that accidentally or have a kid do it for you or something. But on the other hand, what if you are in a situation where, I don't know, some law enforcement or some thief or whatever is in front of you, like, are you able to do that still? They would probably, I mean, they know about it as well. They would prevent you from doing it.
Well, if your phone's in your pocket and you're concerned that law enforcement is going to unlock your phone, you have to stick your hand in your pocket to get your phone. And I guarantee you, any law enforcement officer, agent that has any level of awareness and the term they'll use is officer safety, they're not letting you put your hand in that pocket.
Exactly. Yeah. So you better have disabled it before.
Yep.
Yeah. I said, and you might forget. So I said, it's, I mean, there's also a whole legal side, like when you're talking law enforcement, like they can compel you to unlock your device, but they cannot compel you to give your phone, at least in the US, as far as I've understood, to give them their passcode this way, or password. But yeah, it's, I think there is potential to do more, and I think that's what the article's about, to rethink that, to allow things to be easier.
Does the article say anything about giving you more granular control about biometric passcodes? Okay, because
I don't think so. There's no shortcut, for example, also where you could just on a button have it disable, stuff like that.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think, but that is a good point. Like, maybe we need more.
I mean, the idea that's coming to mind is, well, I want biometrics enabled so that I can use Apple Pay without any problem, but mm-hmm. I'd rather have to enter my passcode every time I want to unlock my device.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so have a setting that says use Face ID or Touch ID for everything, or use it for everything after you've entered your password.
Yeah.
So yeah. Device unlock, it requires a password every time.
I think it does not. That's true. It does not. It's after
it's
reboot.
All or nothing.
After reboot, it does, but afterwards, not.
Right.
Yeah. So I just put in the chat a link to an Apple legal document mm-hmm. that's dated December 12th of 2025 that outlines a lot of these things
mm-hmm.
As to what you can and can't do and how you do it. And so I think it's worth taking a look at if anybody has some concerns over this. I think it's an interesting idea. You know, this always, anytime I see Apple should do more, my hackles go up because there's always somebody that's got a better idea than Apple's.
Yeah.
And they have, and this comes from Philip Michaels, and I absolutely respect Philip Michaels. So, you know, it's a legitimate question. You know, will the new S-Lady, because that's talked about in there, will the S-Lady be able to turn off mm-hmm. your device? Could you set a verbal command that, hey, S-Lady, you know, donut, and it automatically locks your phone and requires passcode?
With a shortcut, you would be able to.
Yeah, with a shortcut, you should be able to. So, you know, there are things that, you know, could be done here.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess maybe I don't want to see the convenience factor overdone. We all know that people violate a dozen different security methods because of convenience. You know, and witness the most popular passwords of the last 10 years. They are usually 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. Or their birthday.
stuff any security minded individual just cringes when you see this stuff. And I still see people do it, you know, and people that I think know better. But, well, it's in my head. What's convenient? Well, mm-hmm. I can remember that, but I can't remember this other thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, okay. But do you really realize how easy it would be for me to hack into your life? And so I get the concern, mm-hmm. but I also think that it's incumbent upon people to make some choices of their own. If they're engaged in any kind of activity that is out of favor with whatever administration is in power at any given moment, mm-hmm. then you need to be aware. If you are concerned about what your phone gives access to,
mm-hmm.
you know, because Patrice, to your point, your phone is your life, then take some responsibility for it. But don't look to somebody else and say, well, they should have not let me do that, you know, because that, I'm sorry, that just doesn't fly with me.
I'll slightly disagree with you. I think on principle, I agree, because I think you should take responsibility for your life, but that does not preclude Apple from doing more. Like, and I think we should push in general, we should push not just Apple, all companies to do better, right? Because that's also kind of something we should be doing. And like we should push ourselves to do better and take, as you said, take responsibility and say, if my phone is so important, then I should secure it. Like enabling that if you enter the passcode wrong for 10 times, it gets wiped. Like that is a setting. If you care about, if you have information on your phone that you don't want to fall in the wrong hands, you should have, unless you have a kid that might accidentally do that. But maybe that's also something you should think about. Is that, should you hand your kid a young child that phone if that's gonna happen?
Well, or probably don't have kids. I mean, that's another.
Well, that's also
a
an
more
option,
extreme
yeah.
method.
That is also an option. That is for sure an option. Yeah, but no, as I said, like that, I think both can be true, right? Take responsibility for your own thing, and also ask Apple to do more, and they usually do. Like, it's I think, I mean, where is the settings on Android?
Yeah. Right. Well, okay, so running with that, where are the settings on your iPhone? Mm-hmm. And how many settings on your iPhone are you actually aware of? For example, I said, wouldn't it be great if you could turn off Face ID just for unlocking your phone? Oh my God, you can. That's actually mm-hmm. a setting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's prior to iOS 26, but there it is. I can turn off unlocking my iPhone with Face ID.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I could lock it down to where I use it just for contactless and payment things, and that's it.
Yeah. By the way, another area you should look at is Siri. We just talked about it. Like, it would be nice to tell Siri to whatever, run a shortcut or lock down your phone. But on the other hand, you can set what Siri should be allowed to do without unlocking the phone, right? If your phone is locked. You can allow it to do anything, or you can say certain things are not working. Like, I don't know, does it have access to your contacts, for example?
Yeah,
I mean, yes, it's convenient, but
it is
also risky.
Yeah, I set mine I turned off allow Siri when locked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because my feeling is if my phone's locked, I don't want any voice things working with the device. I want my device locked.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But that's it. That's a trade-off that you have to decide on and you should think about. Mm-hmm. Is that just too inconvenient and you don't care? Or I mean, and I don't mean in a negative way. Like, it's a decision you have to make and say, hey, I don't have a problem with that. If someone wants to, whatever, access my contacts, then okay, go for it. Say, that's your decision.
Mm-hmm.
I might not give you my phone number, but that's a different story.
Yeah, there's one other thing too that is in that setting and under Face ID, and that is other apps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I can have my phone turn on, go through with Face ID, but mm-hmm. if I've turned off access to, let's say, my banking apps or my password app or any of the authenticators or whatever,
mm-hmm.
then you're into the phone, but you're not into that next automatic level.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, Patrice, I honestly don't think I've ever noticed this setting before. But I'm sitting here looking at the things that I, somewhere along the line, and I don't know how, I gave Face ID access to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, that's probably not a good idea on that one. And then there are others that I'm fine with.
Mm-hmm.
But, I have no idea how Best Buy got turned on for Face ID.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's crazy. There's no reason that I need to buy a TV with Face ID. So,
I mean,
and there are others that I'm okay with.
Yeah. On the other hand, I'm a big proponent of apps. I mean, I don't know if Best Buy is a good example. I would say no. But of adding an extra layer of protection to apps. Like, a lot of people could say, or a lot of apps could say, well, I mean, there's Face ID or there's your passcode. So the phone is locked. And once you're in the phone, like, everything should be fair game. But there is apps, and I mean, banking apps are one of them. Email apps these days allow that, and a lot of other apps where there is still, like, even if you, like, you might hand your phone to, I don't know, a friend to do something, or I don't know, do a phone call, or to your kid or whatever. Yeah, just because you've unlocked the phone and handed it to someone doesn't mean that they should have access to everything in your phone now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes sense to allow optionally, or not optionally. I mean, I think the banking apps kind of enforce it to say, no, like, if you want to use this app, you have to unlock an extra step because this is critical and should not just be open. And I said, I'm a big fan of this feature.
This is not a knee-jerk thing. I'm surprised to see this on here. I was really surprised to see it turned on. Mm-hmm. But Chrome has a Face ID option to turn on.
Was
turned on.
Yeah, I think I know where. I know why. Because you probably have some websites that needed biometric authentication, and the app that's using that is Chrome. Like passkeys, maybe, or something. I actually know passkeys would go through Keychain. But there are some apps that have features like that. Or some websites on some apps. Websites.
Patrice, none of the other browsers that I have installed on this phone are showing that.
Interesting.
So,
turn it off, see what happens.
Turn it off, exactly.
I just did. Yeah. So, this is one of the challenges with settings that... we all want fine-grained control. The trouble is we get fine-grained control. And that means that you may have to go 2, 3, 4, 5 levels deep to actually turn the setting on or off that you want.
Yeah. You also have to just go there in general to even check.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you also may not think of it exactly the way that the Apple software designers thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
So where you may look in one place... there's an argument that it is located over in this other place. So we're back to this, the personal responsibility thing, that if some of these things are important to you, then you've got to do a little bit of education. Mm-hmm. Could Apple do a better job? Maybe. Could we all do a better job? Hopefully we're doing that here right now. But, maybe there are a whole lot of articles and videos that could be produced on stuff like this that, we can take responsibility for.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I just gave everybody homework.
Are you saying we need to... Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, exactly. So you had nothing else to do, Jeff.
Right? Yeah. I could just record all these videos while I'm sitting in the hospital waiting room, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or at least do the research.
Yeah. And So, all right. Well, we're already talking about security and privacy and security, which means I should probably talk about AWE Technologies, because they are sponsoring British Tech Network, making sure that we have the resources so that we can stream live shows to you every single week, so that there's a place for the website to live, a place for the show recordings to live, so you can watch or listen to episodes anytime you want, and maybe even use them as a resource, like today's episode where we all learned that there's a lot more going on with our FaceTime biometric settings than we realized. So anyhow, AWE Technologies, thank you for being here for us and making sure we have the resources we need to do what we do. And for everyone that's watching and listening, AWE Technologies might have the resources you need too, because you might have, say, a remote construction site or some sort of remote facility where you need to be monitoring what's going on all the time. That's what they help you do. So, they've won awards because that's how good they are at doing this. So if you need their services, you need to go check out their website. You should check it out anyhow, because it's a cool looking site. And that's AWE Technologies, awetechnologies.co.uk. Thanks, AWE Technologies. And I've been talking about all these resources. Patrice, do you mind helping me out and telling people about the live chat? Because resources.
Yes. So live chat, without all the big companies like we just talked about, YouTube and Google and Apple and all of that. The only thing we have is a server sponsored by AWE Technologies and a really cool live stream solution, which is open source. And if you head over to live.britishtechnetwork.com, you can experience it. It's free, it's easy, works in any browser, well, any modern browser. Don't know if it works in Netscape, probably doesn't. But it will work in any modern recent browser. And yeah, we have you know the setup. It's like YouTube, it's like all the other platforms, like video on the left, chat on the right. You can see us do this show, make this like a thing. We record every Friday at 4 p.m. UK time. If you want to join in, it's always 4 p.m. UK time. Whatever time zone you're in, you have to do the math and figure that out, or use an app, or use a LLM to tell you what time that is in your time zone. Like, I don't judge. And yeah, the chat is also, you don't need a registration. It generates a really cool name, like the Gallant Dozer was one, the Adoring
Nice.
Bartic, the Quirky Thompson, like there's the Pensive Shaw, like
Joiner.
the Chuck Joyner. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting names that get generated. And yeah, you can change it. Like, I think Chuck did that. Like, tap up top on the purple button, change name, and just pick the name that you would like to show up as. But that's it. And you can talk to us, like the third is doing right now, and some other people often. So thanks for doing that. And yeah, if you we post the links to the stories that we talked about, all of them, and also like, for example, the etymology link that Jeff threw in here, and we have, or the Chuck posted the privacy document for Face ID. If you want to review that, there's a transcript for this. Head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then pick today's date, the calendar, which is the 13th of February 2026. And there you will see everything that we talked about, including the cool things that are coming up.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that, Patrice. And I believe that's the perfect way to segue into cool things. So who has the first one? And that would be Chalk.
I will go. So this is kind of inspired by a lot of recent things, not the least of which was the kidnapping of Savannah Guthrie's mother. But also, the pick is inspired, but it's something that I've did a couple weeks ago, before all that craziness started, that I upgraded my dash cam, and so to have both a front and a rear camera, and so the link I threw in is for the Nexbase 522GW, plus the rear camera. This is the one that's in my car now. It's fully installed. I've had the 522GW for a while. I may have even picked it on the prior show, but I decided to go and have the rear facing camera put in, just because it seems like people are getting crazier. But there are things happening on the roads that we may want to get records of, and so that's me. That doesn't mean it's you, but the industry I work in, it. If I make a mistake, this is going to capture it. If somebody else makes a mistake, it's going to capture it. I'll bet on me every time, because it's going to take away all the discussions, all the arguments, if there's an incident. And so I have this now. I've talked to Nextbase a number of times at CES. I've watched them grow as a company and get more sophisticated. In fact, just today, as we record this, I published the most recent interview with Nextbase from CES. And so they have a camera at every price point. Some are unbelievably sophisticated, that if you are someone who has a concern about being pulled over by the police, that you can do automatic notifications about that to someone that needs to be notified, right on down. So, but this is the one that is sort of it's the sort of the middle ground. They also have very inexpensive ones without screens. So I personally encourage everyone to get a dash cam. And for the price of this, for a front and rear, this is a really good value. So if evaluated for yourself, and if you don't want to spend quite that much money, then go and look at one of their lower ones. But I can tell you the quality of the video that comes out of these is great, assuming you clean your windshield and your rear view, or your rear window.
Yeah,
little problem there, you know, but yeah, it's well worth it, in my opinion, to have this level of security and safety.
Awesome. Yeah, my parents, they put a camera in their car a couple years ago, and they haven't needed any footage from it, but they've been very happy to have that in the car because they know if they ever need the footage, they've got it.
Yeah. And it, I mean, the Nextbase app, you know, it connects, you can download things directly from the camera to your phone, or you can pop the memory card out, you know, if you want to get a whole lot more, a whole lot faster. But this one in particular has an AUD built in so that I can tell it to stop or start recording, or to save a frame or save a short video. If, you know, some crazy person cut me off and I want to try to capture their license plate number. You know, there are a lot of different uses. Once again, it's a piece of tech that you want to just put in. And if you put it in and just stick it there, that's great. It can do so much more if you just spend a little bit of time learning about it.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, Patrice, what do you have for us?
Patrice, I think you should put a dash cam in your plane.
yeah, actually, I should, yes.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Actually, it would be really cool. And then share videos with us.
Yeah.
Every now and then. And yeah.
I will definitely do that. Like a lot of people do that. It's also good for your training because you can review like how you handle things and whatever.
Good point.
My cool thing is it's a Git client or Git app for macOS, or actually Mac and Windows if you're into the Windows. I don't know why you would be. I don't know. Maybe you're like Apple too, but you have to use a Windows PC. You never know. Anyway, it's called Fork. So like the fork. Like it's kind of a double meaning because in Git speak, a fork is also something that happens. Like you have a repository of your code somewhere, usually GitHub or something, GitLab, or any of the others, and you create a copy that will diverge from the original. That's called a fork. So it's kind of the double meaning. It has a really fun fork, like image. It's blue, has a little fork on it. It's just really good Git client. I know some people are like, I use the terminal, blah blah blah. I'm a purist, and fine, I can do that too. Or they use their IDE, whatever, WinSurf or Visual Studio or whatever you're using. But I found that a good GUI Git client has a lot of advantages when it comes to seeing what's going on in your repository, like what branches are happening, what commits are happening, what, like, did things diverge, who's doing what. Like sometimes, especially when you have a lot of parallel things happening in a bigger team, it's like, okay, this person's working on this person's working on that. Did they talk to each other? And you can see in the code, they're like, okay, no, they just, everybody's doing their thing and they're never integrating with each other. And like, okay, maybe also not a good thing. So long story short, you need that. And I have, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 Git repositories locally because I work on a lot of projects, like open source a lot. I contribute to tons of stuff recently. For example, the Matrix server Synapse, I contributed a feature to allow offloading of files to the cloud, or actually to only do cloud storage, not have local storage on top of that, which is helpful for your chat. Use S3, for example, as a storage backend for that. So I'm contributing to a lot of things, and I just need a good GUI client, like independent also of your IDE, because I'm doing different languages and different IDEs sometimes. And I've used for a long, long, long time Atlassian Source Tree, I think it was called. But it's Atlassian. They abandoned a lot of projects over time, and it hasn't gotten a lot of updates in the last, I don't know, 5 years probably. It's typical Atlassian. Like, you can tell, like, before they even announce they're going to shut it down, you can tell because for years there's been barely any any contribution to it, any change to it. It's like, oh, whatever, it works. So yeah, I switched over from SourceTree to Fork, and I'm very happy. What I need most is also having multiple tabs or something, because I have whatever 10 projects I'm working on right now. I don't want to close one, open one, whatever. I just want windows or tabs or something where I can just switch from project to, like, really quickly. So Fork, and it's not free. It's not on setup. It's a one-time $60 purchase, but worth it. If you use it like me all the time, cool. Absolutely worth it.
Yeah, $60 for what this does sounds reasonable.
Absolutely. I didn't even blink an eye. I was like, $60, sold, bought. Like, they have a free trial, like a quite reasonable free trial, so you don't have to buy it right away. The one feature I loved about this is it basically, you can give it your Git folder or your development folder, whatever it is, and it will scan all the projects. So it's not that you have to manually, like other apps where you have to manually go in and say, oh, I have a new Git repository here and like whatever. If you're like me and all the Git repositories are always in the same folder, I just pointed the folder and all of them are there, because it just scans them and says, oh, you have 60 different projects here. Which one do you want to open? So that is actually quite unique. I've not seen anybody else do that, but I actually like it very much.
That's cool. Awesome. And it looks like you may have just spent the third's money. So well done.
Good. You're welcome.
That's awesome. Okay. So then my pick, it used to be an app. And if you still have the app, it still works, crazy as that sounds. But now it's a website, and it's Coffitivity. And so Coffitivity, I started using it years ago because I work alone, and there have been studies that show your brain can be more productive when you have some like ambient background noise things happening. And so it was just Coffitivity. It was a coffee shop. And so I would just have this coffee shop background noise playing. And so it's like the murmur of voices, and, mm-hmm. and occasionally hear like a cup or a plate clink or whatever, just like you would hear in a real coffee shop. And it was great. And I have continued to move the app from Mac to Mac over the years, so I can still use it. But the website is really useful, mm-hmm. because it gives you you have 9 different ambient sounds that you can use for free, and so you can just stream whatever. And so I believe the one that matches what I have been using in the app is Morning Murmur, and it's just like that coffee shop background noise. Mm-hmm. But they have like different public places for background noise, and they also have some nature ones, all for free. They do have a paid mode that gets you more, and I've never even bothered to look to see what you get for that. I see. Okay. So for $4 a month, you get unlimited daily streaming. You get all of the tracks, and they also have like brainwave sounds, or you can do for $3 a month, you have unlimited streaming. So okay. And if you're using the free version, you get to use it an hour a day. But I bet there are enough clever people out there that they could figure out how to get more than an hour a day if they wanted to for free. But if you're using it that much, you should probably pay. It's Coffitivity is still really cool. And I love that they have a bunch of options out there for people What's triggering me to talk about this right now is that I discovered after I went to my audiology test that I have been unconsciously doing a lot of masking tricks for tinnitus. And one of those has included coughativity. So it's nice for that too, because when you're sitting in silence with that tinnitus thing going, it can become very distracting. And having some sort of sound thing happening can be really helpful to distract your brain from the tinnitus sound. And coughativity has been very useful for me for that. So there you go. You have free options and paid options. And if you happen to have the app sitting around still somewhere, throw that on your Mac and it lives in your menu bar, and you can play tracks from there. Too.
Yeah, there that's
coughativity.
For people who need that to even concentrate or whatever, super, super helpful app.
Yeah.
Like, I know tons of people who need that.
It's really cool. There's another one out there that I can't remember the name of it, but it's like I think it incorporates some music, so it's like you're at a jazz club sort of thing. And that one, I recall, was a cool thing pick for me at some point in the past, either here on the Big Show or on the Mac Show. Someone's going to remember which one that was, and they'll let me know. All right, there we go. I think that was a really cool mix of cool things today.
It was.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so with that, let's wrap this thing up. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you see and hear everything that I'm doing. The live show is Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on the socials, on all the socials, I'm at Chuck Joyner. Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome. And Chuck, I do appreciate that you're such a good sport, because I poke fun at you on shows a lot. It's done out of love.
Oh, I love it, because I poke back at times.
That's true, you do. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
Absolutely. That's sort of defines, I think, a lot of the shows that we're on together.
I think it does. Yep. Okay, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays and on the Mac Show on Fridays. I love doing that with you guys. On my website, thepatrice.com, you will find all the podcasts, the projects, the social media links, the occasional, and I mean every 4 or 5 years, blog post. Maybe I'll get to this year with, I think I have in my brain a Star Trek, Starfleet Academy follow-up article I'm going to write. Cool. So I'll do that. And also there's a brand spanking new thing, which is the cool things section, where all the cool things I've picked on either BTN shows or on the Mac Voices holiday gift guides are on the website. So you can go from, I think, November 2019 forward. Every single cool thing, or almost, maybe I forgot some somewhere, but almost every single cool thing and some bonus things that I've ever picked on a show are linked on a page. And in hopefully a couple minutes, the cool thing from today will also show up, because it's that fast. Literally just push. I use fork. I push a markdown file and pipeline builds, and then I have a new website. So it's that easy. Yeah. And with Jeff, Retro Rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows. Ooh, nice. We rewatch retro TV shows, and Jeff usually gets things in the wrong order. Or forgets things. That's just how it goes. And we just published Avatar: The Last Airbender. We rewatched that because I got Jeff to, in between the Stargate SG-1 seasons that we're watching for the most part, We watched some random interesting things that Jeff has not seen, and one of them was the animated Avatar: The Last Airbender show, which was great. We watched the first two episodes, and yeah, it's online live now, published last week's, and as of tonight, somewhere when I don't forget to edit, you will get the predictions or Jeff's predictions for season four of Stargate SG-1, and it will be interesting, I can tell you that.
When we go back and revisit my predictions at the end of the season, it's interesting and funny.
Yes, both at the same time.
Yeah, I mean there are some things where it's like, wow, that's you were actually close with that. But so many things where nope, I might as well be talking about a completely different show.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so
Yep.
retrorewatch.com. Go there.
Awesome. Okay, so I guess it's my turn now. Jay Gamut on social media, and I'm most active right now on Mastodon and PixelFed and Blue Sky. And instead of doing a speed run through shows like I did yesterday, I'll slow it down a little bit. I think I did the whole thing yesterday in a single breath.
You did.
Yeah, that's some breath control right there. Okay, so Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays on Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS, here for the Big Show and the Mac Show on the British Tech Network. And Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch. And okay, so with that, let's wrap the show up. And I'll start that whole part by saying, holy forking shirt balls, both of you are awesome. I am so glad that we're friends. And that we got together and did the show today. This has been so much fun. And now I'm looking forward to the weekend, and already looking forward to next week when we do more shows together. So thank you for just being awesome people. Hey, everyone that's watching, listening live, participating in the live chat, thank you for being here. You are all awesome as well. Everyone that watches, listens to the show recordings later, so glad you are all here. Hey, Yoon, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure there are people for shows. And Awe Technologies, thanks for being here and supporting us. So now, everyone, be sure to join us next Thursday for the Big Show, then come back again on Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend. Also, if you celebrate Valentine's Day, which is as we record tomorrow, February 14th, happy Valentine's Day to all of you. And I have a consensual hug for everyone who wants one. All right. Have an awesome weekend. We'll see you next week.